issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the issue that we're discussing. Are Christians extremists or domestic terrorists? Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? The DOJ, under the leadership of Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, and most all of the other three-letter agency thugs with badges, as I call them, say that, believe that, practice that, whether it's put in that verbiage or not. But ladies and gentlemen, I look at Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, that's rightness before God, exalted, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. That's where we are today. Dr. Davis and I are talking about that issue today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at a headline, and I want our listeners to hear parts of it. Christian persecution in America, unveiling the truth behind the concerns. As concerns rise regarding Christian persecution within the United States, many believers and faith leaders are seeking clarity on the situation. The land known for its foundational principles of religious freedom now faces a complex reality where expressions of faith are occasionally met with opposition, legal challenges, social pressures. Explore the multifaceted aspects of Christian persecution. This article reads in part, persecution takes on many forms, from subtle discrimination to social ostracization, to more overt legal battles and acts of violence against Christians. I'll stop there for a moment. Acts of violence you're finding today, they're not calling them pro-life centers now. They're calling anti-abortion centers, and several of them had been bombed, several have been vandalized, several have been burned, and yet we've not seen one where the DOJ did an investigation deep enough, far enough to prosecute anybody for doing it. That is the subtle but yet overt acts of violence against Christians. Some of the overt acts of violence against Christians, where on one occasion a Christian grandmother standing out on the sidewalk holding her Bible in front of an abortion clinic was charged with disrupting the peace.
My.
And as a result of that, being persecuted and prosecuted. This article further says, the Holy Scriptures offered profound insights into the nature of persecution and how believers are to respond to it. Jesus himself mentioned in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:10. And ladies and gentlemen, I can go further because this article is filled with some of the contemporary issues, identifying the subtle forms of discrimination. For example, it says, these challenges include workplace discrimination. Dr. Davis read an article recently where a woman had John 3:16, a verse, on a little piece of paper posted in her workstation cubicle. She was told summarily to remove it. It might offend somebody. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can call it what you want. You can say, well, that's what the company says, then you ought to do it. But listen, they can have other vulgar, vile signs and symbols and pictures and words on the other cubicles, but this dear lady could not put John 3:16 up because it might offend somebody. This article says these challenges include workplace discrimination, suppression of religious expressions in academic settings, or media portrayals that may misrepresent Christian values. And I could go on and on and on. The bottom line is, Dr. Davis, we're witnessing the increasing promulgation of prosecution and persecution of Christians in America today, and it's being propelled, embraced, and encouraged, and codified in rules and regulations and the change of laws by the Biden-Harris administration.
Well,
or I should say Harris Biden, because she's the one running the show today.
Well, I'm a little bit jealous of Joe Biden right now.
Yeah.
Because he gets to spend all the time on the beach.
Yes.
And you and I have to grind it out. So. But just on the flip side of that, what you just got finished saying, how this young lady got persecuted because of a Bible scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Flip that over, Dr. Youngblood. Right where we're at right now, we're getting ready to go into a season where they're going to glorify evil.
Yes.
Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if she puts up a witch or a warlock or anything in that same space, they'll probably give her a raise and pin a medal on her chest.
That's right. And touching on that, Dr. Davis, let's just dive into this a minute, and we'll probably cover it a little more in detail in the future. But I'm embarrassed by churches. They will have ghosts and goblins posted out in front. They'll have things with skeletons, et cetera, in the church building, promulgating, pushing, promoting this wicked, unholy, ungodly so-called holiday, churches embracing it. Just as we're finding more and more churches embracing transgenderism, more and more churches today embracing murder by way of abortion, thinking somehow, some way we've got to reach the public. Now, let me just pause for a moment and digress. What is the church for? The church is for Christians, hear me, Christians to come in and to learn the word, study the word. I use the term Christians are gathered to worship and scattered to witness. There's nothing in the heart and the life of a lost person that says, I want to get up and go to Sunday school and worship today. Christians are to be salt and light going out into the world, reaching others with the gospel. And when the others find the gospel and it penetrates their heart, they want to be in the church.
Amen.
But we have the mindset today, we so many churches, that you've got to embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. You've got to embrace murder by way of abortion. You've got to embrace the CRT. You've got to embrace every unholy, ungodly mindset and organizational group in order to get people to fill the pews, the numbers, nickels, and noses mindset, as I've called it for so long. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at a headline that says, are American Christians really persecuted? Anti-Christian hostility is on the minds of many, if not most, Christians these days. Each new legal challenge to religious liberty at state and federal levels raises the issue afresh and anew. It seems today that Christians must think through their cultural position more carefully than any other point in U.S. history.
My, my.
I am afraid, ladies and gentlemen, of where we're going. This election, what is it, 45 days from now? Will make the determination as to the destiny of America, whether we'll be a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, or whether we will retain our recognition as a Christian nation with a constitutional republic and a representative form of government. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Edmund Burke once uttered the words, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And we saw an election 4 years ago in which 40 million professing believers sat at home. And guess what? They did nothing. I pray that today some folks have been awakened by 3.5 years of chaos. I pray that today believers out there realize that in order to be salt and light, they have to actually engage. They have to involve themselves. I would say for those preachers that years ago started that yanking out of context and saying, come out from among them and be ye separate, folks, that's not biblical, at least not when applied along the line of not having anything to do with the culture. Matter of fact, you can't very well, unless you're going to move to Mars, you can't not have anything to do with the culture. You can choose to not engage, But I'll tell you what, folks, that's having something to do. By not making a choice, you have made a choice. And for every pastor out there that's scared to death to speak the truth in love and to call out these issues that they call political, by the way, everything is a biblical issue. Before it's a political issue, before it's a classroom issue, before it's a social issue, before it's a family issue, before it's a government issue, it's a Bible issue. And the very first articulated right that we have is not a right for government to trample, it's a restriction on government. What are the very first words in that Bill of Rights? Congress shall make no law respecting, that's having anything to do with, an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Why in the world is that first? They wanted to make sure that that government, that King George had lorded over and restricted establishments of religion, practices of religion, that we never had a government that could hold us back as believers. 400 years ago, when we came across on the Mayflower and they landed there at the Plymouth Colony, guess what? They went there for religious liberty. And folks, you stand by and you do nothing, and guess what? You will lose your religious liberty. Folks bled and died for you to have the freedoms that you have today. And my goodness, if you don't get out and exercise them, we're going to lose them.
Very good. Well stated. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. He happens to have his domicile up in the southern tip of heaven, better known as Northeast Tennessee. Greg, how's the weather? Is it raining your way?
I'm going to make you jealous if I start talking about it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I've just taken a 5-minute break. I'm looking out the window at the most beautiful mountains in the world. And I'd invite you.
Do you have any red leaves and those green leaves on the mountain yet?
Yeah, but you probably can't see them, poor fella. I enjoy. We've not started seeing the colors really change, but it's coming. It's coming real soon.
Greg, let me take a moment. I know that you have a tight schedule, and I'm thankful you've taken a moment to call. Let me take an extra moment and ask you a question. About 45 days from now, we have the election, and I'm saying that the election this year will change the destiny, make a determination of the destiny of America more than any other presidential election, I believe, in my lifetime, and I'm still less than 100 years old. What are some of the major elements that we find in this election that our listeners need to understand? When you cast the ballot for a candidate, you're casting your ballot for XYZ, left column, right column, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. Give us a brief rundown on a ballot cast for Kamala Harris, what it means for the future, versus a vote for Donald Trump, what it means for the future of America.
Let me tell you, the militarization, the politicization of our three-letter agencies, FBI, DOJ, CIA, all these IRS, right down the list we could go with federal agencies that have been militarized. They've been politicized against conservatives, against Christians, against Republicans. We've seen this play out in the lead up to the 2016 election. Who spent money? Well, Hillary and the DNC. What did they spend it on? They spent it on the Steele dossier. They literally engaged foreign nationals in an influence campaign in our election. At the end of the day, Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid out like a $60,000 fine to the Federal Election Commission. Nobody went to jail. They engaged federal, and then we had the FBI, folks like Kleinsmith, Attorney Kleinsmith for the FBI, that literally modified federal documents, CIA documents, in order to expand a FISA warrant against Carter Page and intrude on the Trump campaign. Nobody went to jail. He lost his law license, from what I understand, for 1 year. We're going to see more militarization, more politicization of our agencies against conservative Christians and Republicans. If you want that to happen, you go down, you punch the ticket for Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. I'm saying Kamala Harris. You understand why I include the others. That, if that's what you want more of, you go down and punch the ballot. If you want more illegal aliens coming into the country and not just changing the culture, but with criminals invading the country, they're lying, but that makes them a criminal, by the way. If you come across with under false pretenses, you're a liar, and you, when you lie on a federal form, you're a criminal. Well, we have millions, and about, according to recent stats, 2 million known gotaways. By the way, folks, it only took 19 people to pull off 9/11. we're about to see potentially a 9/11 on steroids in this country, because we have a border that's not just porous, it's wide open. We said all comers, just come on. They'll drop their ID on the other side of the border. They show up, and their name is John Smith, I guess. So we got millions of John Smiths running around. We don't know who in the world they are. And when something goes haywire, it will be tracked back to that southern border. If you want to keep it as it is on a wide open southern border, you just go ahead and vote that Kamala Harris ticket. If you want to see your Second Amendment rights, by the way, the First Amendment is first for a reason. The Second Amendment is second there for a reason, because without the Second Amendment, you're not going to have a First Amendment. It'll all disappear. She keeps lying. She's, I don't want to take away your guns. Well, she's an attorney. You know what she means? She don't want to take it away. She wants to buy it back. Well, that's a lie, too. The government never owned it. And by the way, the government couldn't pass a background check. The number one killer of civilians in the world is the government. Folks, the reason we have that Second Amendment is to not for hunting, but to protect us against a totalitarian fascist government. I mean, that sounds crazy, but that's what our founding fathers said. We can kind of go all the way down the list. Abortion is there. Keep in mind, though, because Donald Trump appointed three members to the U.S. Supreme Court, we had the Dobbs decision. Dobbs decision struck down the Roe v. Wade decision. That was bad, bad, bad case law, bad precedent in 1973. Struck it down. It's gone back to the states. As much as it is a horror story to realize that I believe nine states have on the ballot constitutional amendments to make it legal to take the life of that unborn child, those nine states will stand, those leaders in those nine states will stand judgment before God one day. But the whole United States should not have to face judgment because we have horrendous leadership in those nine states. We can go right down the list. There's a lot of chaos. And if we want more of the chaos, will you vote for Kamala Harris? If you want to see what we saw for the 4 years of 2016 to 2020 with good governance for the most part, good leadership for the most part, a secure border for the most part, and energy bills and electricity and fuel that was affordable, and food that was affordable, and housing that was affordable, and interest rates that were affordable, well, then I think I'd probably punch the ticket for the other fella.
Well stated, well summarized. I'll read a blurb of one other article, get your take on it, then let you get back to your ministry work today. Looking at a headline, Kamala Harris, : we will walk into your home, inspect your guns, end quote. Years ago, Kamala Harris was the district attorney in San Francisco. She pitched one of the most offensive gun grabs in American history. Harris said she planned to aggressively target law-abiding gun owners in their homes in the Bay, California area. Here's the exact quote from Kamala Harris. And I'm saying this for those that are Christians, conservatives, and patriots that say that we need to keep our Second Amendment right. For those that are saying that Kamala Harris is not going to take your guns, et cetera, et cetera. So here's what she said. Just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your own locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into your home, check to see if you're responsible with your gun. In other words, Harris believes the government has the right to walk into your home in the dark of the night to inspect your lawfully acquired guns. But why stop with the guns, just guns? Why not inspect the home to see if there's a Bible or on the bookshelf, or whether or not there's meat in the freezer, for the sake of being responsible citizens? Kamala Harris is nothing more than a Marxist and a pantsuit, this writer says. And mark my words, if she's elected president, government agents will be on the front porches of every conservative home in our nation. Do you believe that Kamala Harris has changed her mind? Do you believe that she's now no longer going to talk about confiscating guns? Or do you believe she is still the same Kamala Harris?
It's red meat for your rabid leftist communist fascist types out there. They love the control systems that you see in North Korea and in China and other places, and they'd like to roll that into America. Here's the biggest thing, and I let me preach to the Christians out there for just a second, because I'll tell you what, the world's not going to change until believers engage. It's not going to change until believers humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek God's face. It's not going to change until we do what we're supposed to do as believers. And let me tell you something, as believers, Romans 13 covers the submit. That's the submission chapter, right? That's where every bureaucrat and politician and judge and police officer and all, as a believer, sometimes they get it wrong because they think somehow or another we're supposed to bow and kowtow to whatever government says. Anytime you go, well, tell me, what's the system that God blessed us with here in this country? It's a constitutional republic. Guess who the authority is in this system? For every believer, I want y'all to perk up, sit on the edge of your chair for a second. Who is the authority in the government today? Who are you responsible to submit yourself to today, folks? We don't have the kings and princes that once were. We created a system where it was completely inverted, and that power structure flowed not from God to the king to the people, but from God to the people to create a government that does what? It secures our rights. Every public office holder, they lack power. Did you know that? The only power they have is by, in, and through that Constitution and then the state governments. Each one of them raises their hand and places a hand on a Bible oftentimes and swears to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. If they're willing to trample that, they are not government due your respect, folks. They're to support, protect, and defend that document. That document is self-declared as the supreme law of the land. So I don't care if you're a black robe-wearing judge. I don't care if you're a gun-toting, badge-toting police officer. I don't care if you're a mayor or city council member. I don't care if you're a garbage collector. You've got a duty, if you're working in government, to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the liberals, the Democrats, the socialists say they want to shred that document because it is in the way of their power. That's exactly what Kamala Harris is saying when she says, I'm coming after your guns. Now, she lies, too. She's backing, too. She'll say she's not coming after them, and 2 seconds later, but I am for reasonable gun restrictions. Tell me what would have prevented this lunatic from taking a shot at the president a couple weeks ago. He was a felon many times over, from what I understand. He got a hold of a gun. So you don't want to take his gun. Y'all have been completely unsuccessful about taking away the guns from criminals. You want to take guns away from good people. We did that decades ago in what we call the gun-free zones, and ever since then, that's been a shooting gallery for every bad guy in the world, because guess what? Bad guys don't obey laws, and they love to go places where people are not going to shoot back. So they go to gun-free zones, and they kill people. So your gun-free zones have killed people, not guns. Horrible people using the gun-free zones that were created under William Jefferson Clinton, and they lie, an absolute lie, perpetrated upon the people of the United States of America. Tell you what, we need to apply some common sense, apply the Word of God, and apply the Constitution of this country, and finally we can bring some rational, good government to this country again.
Amen, Greg. That is the only hope we have for America today. And as I tell people leading up now to the election, every Christian needs to pray, prepare, plan, and participate in the election. If we have any value for our constitutional republic, if we have any value for the United States of America and the liberties that we have therein, we need to vote, and we need to vote correctly, obeying God's word first and not some, party affiliation. Greg, thank you for taking time to call today, joining the dialogue and discussion. Tell your preacher, tell your pastor, as the two of you minister together, tell him I said hello and to behave himself today.
Fantastic. Be blessed all. Love y'all. Get out and vote.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. God bless you. Dr. Davis, I'm looking at the headline. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article, Dr. Davis, that is very, very distressing. It says Christians are extremists who must be removed from all military services. According to the U.S. Department of Department of Defense, DOD, the guidelines and the guidance to begin right now removing Christians from the military started under Barack Obama and is now being enforced and escalated by the Harris-Biden administration's DOD. Our client, Officer Joe Doe, John Doe, this is an attorney writing this, has been removed from the command and being pressured to resign from the military because he is a Christian. Our client, Officer John Doe, has been relieved of his command because a subordinate officer claimed that John's Christianity made the subordinate feel unsafe. John never discussed his Christian views or beliefs about the LGBTQ issues with the subordinate officer or anyone else in his command. Instead, the officer's complaint was solely based on John's personal social media post. John was a social media account for the friends and family over the years, he has posted about his Christian beliefs. The posts were never derogatory, simply a reflection of what he believed about parenting and Christians and a Christian worldview. It goes on to say, and it talks about what is happening in this military man's life and what they're doing, ordered him out of the service, etc. And this Christian attorney says, but wait, it gets worse. The officer who investigated the subordinate's complaint has now formally recommended that all full-time National Guard members' social media accounts be thoroughly scrutinized for Christian viewpoints. Any service member found to have Christian viewpoints should be reported to the DOD Counterintelligence and Insider Threat Hub for adjudication as an extremist.
My.
Now, Dr. Davis, my question is, are we saying to the world that Christians cannot serve in military because they're extremists? What say you? How should we respond to it? What should the Christian's viewpoint be in view of what we see taking place with our government today?
Well, they had better be careful what they're saying, Dr. Youngblood. They might end up getting what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. Because what they need to understand is that God is fighting for the military on behalf of those Christians that may be praying.
That's right.
It's the prayers of those Christians that are keeping things going for the military. God is standing up and fighting and delivering them from the hands of the enemy. So if you're going to ask for that, you better be careful.
Absolutely.
Because these people will come in and they will make merchandise of you.
That's right.
And that's something that we don't need right now. Listen, you know, my heart goes out because, again, I found out that specialist Kennedy Sanders from Waycross, Georgia, was in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And she got killed, as you know, last year, because of, I think, a drone attack, mm-hmm, while she was out there serving the country.
Yep.
Now, I know she comes from a praying family, but listen, again, if we let up in any kind of way, then the enemy is going to come in and make merchandise out of our military. So we better not ask for these particular things to happen.
That's weakening our nation. We already have a destroyed border. That's weakening our defense, weakening the future of America. And ladies and gentlemen, a ballot cast on November the 5th will make the determination. A vote for Kamala Harris will be a vote to legalize murder on a national scale. It'll be a vote for surrendering our national security and sovereignty. A vote for Kamala Harris will force Christians out of the military service. And I could go on and on. It would be a vote to confiscate all weapons. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say that we need to pray, we need to plan, we need to participate in the election process. We need to make sure that our vote is in accord with the Word of God.
Amen.
And if we're going to determine the destiny of America on November the 5th, we need to determine it based on God's Word, God's will, and God's way as we're salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.8. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7.
You know the family that lives across the street, the one with the perfect kids, perfect marriage, and perfect life? Yeah, well, that really doesn't exist. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. There's a lot of mom and dads out there struggling today with perfection. They want to be perfect parents and have perfect kids. But those expectations don't sound very realistic to me. Here's what I've learned from my experience. Trying to create the appearance of perfection doesn't solve problems. It causes them. It's when Jan and I stopped trying to be perfect to one another that our marriage actually got better. Put that perfection directly.